Daniel Searle, September of 24. I am defining my box.
Okay.
Remember that? That's what this is about. And the title is Porsches, Rolexes, and Movies.
Wow.
Rolexes.
Porsches.
I know Angel
appreciates Porsches,
so Porsches, much.
Porsches, Rolexes, and...
I'll show you.
This is on caliber of naked feet.
Mm-hmm. Porsches.
Oh, look at that.
Ooh.
Porsches.
Porsches.
The classic one.
Oh, God.
It's a Transformer.
Cool.
Rolexes.
Rolexes.
Oh, that's
and Moonies.
Oh,
I was like, thinking in the airport, Moonies.
I was thinking of the Moonies. I'm thinking
70s?
Yeah.
Not the Korean Reverend.
What, so is that?
Sun Young Moon.
Sun Young Moon.
At the plane.
Called the Moonie? It's a style?
I did not know that.
So I'm going to back up to what Danny Searle said in church. And I'm going to read my notes from that as an introduction to what I'm going to talk about here, okay? My truth about God is not actually the truth of God. Reality has little to do with it, and my perception is not necessarily reality. Hard questions can show where my reality doesn't meet the truth. Jesus tears down the murky lens and throws open the curtain. Hebrews 1:1, the sum total is Jesus.
Come on.
He's the, he, remember I'm following the theme that's already been said, right? What's the theme?
He.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Right? He is the radiant intent of God that fills up types and shadows. Renewing my mind renews the correct lens, wipes the dirt off again. So what does my contentment look like? Is this, what I'm about to say, the sum total of my sonship? Now I'm going to talk about sonship in two respects. I am the son of Robert Montague Wilson, who passed away in May, right? And we're going through his estate, his house, and here's the Rolex, right?
Aw, oh, so good.
Okay, right? Mm-hmm. I admire.
That was your dad's.
It was my dad's.
Yeah.
This flew 122 combat missions over Vietnam.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that cool?
That is
totally
cool.
Typing is cool, right?
Yeah.
That's totally cool.
And so, and I'll get to that. I'll get to that. The sum total of my sonship. I'm going to split sonship into two pieces. I'm going to talk about Eric Wilson, the son of Bob Wilson and Janet Wilson. And I'm going to talk about me, the son of God.
Come on.
The brother of Christ. Right? So I'm going to talk about those things. So what does my contentment look like? Is this the sum total of the son of Janet and Bob? Rolex, Porsche, Moody, nice house. Huh. Is that really getting it for me? This is where I've thought for most of my life. I grew up in the backseat of that blue 911 that I showed you. It's not that particular one. It looked just like it, same year, same everything. It could have been a picture of my dad's Porsche, right? This is that Rolex, and this Mooney, this little airplane, is what we flew all over the country in. So,
with your dad?
With my mom and dad. My dad got out of the Navy, and when we left here in 69, he went to work for Continental Airlines, and we moved down to Westminster. And he was home-based out of LAX, and he was flying for Continental Airlines. And he bought a Mooney. He was now making lots of money as an airline pilot, right? So we bought a Mooney, and my mom got her pilot's license in that airplane. And they, together, took the family and we flew back to Virginia, we flew up to Washington, we flew all over. It was cool.
Yeah.
So, as you know, my dad passed away in May and he left a legacy of these finer things in life,
yeah,
in me and my brother. The sorts of things that the rest of the world views as American wealth entitlement, mm, or sometimes white privilege,
yeah,
or conspicuous consumption, right?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, right? There is no doubt that I was raised by parents who enjoyed the good life. What I've noticed in me as we sort through my parents' leftovers is wondering about whether or not I ought to feel discomfort at having inherited a taste for the finer things. I wear my dad's Rolex, something I always admired as a child. I would like to own a blue 66 Porsche 911 with a tan interior. I am going through the motions of getting my FAA flight physical so that I can get my pilot's license, a lifelong dream. Right? Mm-hmm. For each of these things, I can point to their reasonable roots in my childhood. But I also wonder if they should instead be buried with my mom and dad in their loving memory. Here's why I wonder that. The kingdom of heaven is not about what something looks like on the outside. Rather, what a heart looks like, what a heart does during crisis. The outward trappings, the Rolexes, the Porsches, the Moonies can be useful, but they can also be used to hide the inward things, even to hide from the inward things. If you guys have comments, please blurt them out.
Oh,
I'm
fascinating.
Definitely interested in a two-way conversation here. You'll get more out of me if you draw more out of me. The watch is a good example and probably the most conservative item on the list with respect to use and stewardship of resources and my attitude toward the inward things. Anticipating, so it was purchased in Yokohama at the Navy Exchange in 1965. He bought himself this watch. It cost about $200 at the time. Probably a reasonable cost for a state-of-the-art watch that could be relied upon to continue functioning after ejecting from a burning jet and landing in the Gulf of Tonkin. Right?
He did?
He did not. But he was in the air when one of his flight was and captured and lived the next 7 years at the Hanoi Hilton.
Wait, your dad was in the
Hanoi? No, nope, not my dad. But he was in the air when one of his strike group was shot down.
Wow.
So it's not unreasonable that he didn't buy himself the stuff that was going to last through hard times. Of course, Al Carpenter, call sign Soapy, who was shot down, lived in Hanoi Hilton, did not keep his Rolex. It was taken away.
It's good to say.
Right? No, it's, he lost that in Hanoi. So my dad continued wearing this watch. When he left the Navy in 70, I think it was 70 when we left here and moved down, he went to work for Continental, and then he was furloughed not very long after that because of an economic downturn, and he went back into the Navy and we moved to Point Magoo, and he was a member of VA 305. I remember we were walking through the gym at Point Magoo, and I don't remember if he was bouncing a basketball. I don't remember that exactly, but I remember looking. He was holding my hand, and so I was holding his right hand, left hand, and I was looking at his hand. And my mom had talked to me about this watch, and so I pulled his hand down to me, and I grabbed the watch, and I asked him something about it, and I don't remember exactly what his response was. I probably said something. I liked the way it looked. I liked the way the crown was protected by these bosses, the things that my mom had told me. And he he may have told me then that I would likely inherit it someday. Well, it kind of got beat up by the time the 80s arrived, and my dad ended up changing out the bracelet for some silver, gold, coral, turquoise, twist-a-flex thing.
Wow.
That was popular, man.
It was.
Turquoise.
Twist-a-flex, remember Twist-a-flex?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Twist-a-flex.
Remember that?
My dad.
Yeah, right?
So funny.
They're so ugly. And they pull your hair, too.
Yes.
So the bezel, the famous Rolex bezel on the Submariner, was gone. It had a Twist-a-flex thing. I was not amused. I hated that. This watch mostly lived in his chest of drawers after that, and we lost track of the bracelet that came off of it, the original Rolex bracelet. So after they moved here, I found the watch again, and after he passed away, I rapidly removed that ugly Twist-a-flex and made a plan to have the watch restored by the factory. This was accomplished just this last July, and I'm very happy to have this on my wrist.
Yay!
However, I am self-conscious about it. Mm. It is no longer a $200 watch. Right?
What is it?
I'm not going to tell you what it's worth, but you can look up Rolex Submariner.
He's telling
us. Keep going.
Keep going.
It's very valuable.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You woke him up.
I did.
I'm sorry.
I want to roll.
Actually, it was your action that led to it.
There you go.
I think we all woke him up.
We're just having too much fun.
Well, bring him out here and we'll tickle him. I sometimes worry about having it stolen, but my brother has rightly pointed out that that's what insurance is for. And he's right. So, to quote Mr. Searle, I'm going to share what's on my heart about what I understand about these things. So, which of these desires is actually mine, and which did I inherit from my parents? When I was young, I had a burning desire to fly fast airplanes off of ships and land on them again. Guess why?
Because
you did. I inherited that from my dad. I thought that was the coolest thing I could possibly do. Mm-hmm. The only thing that kept me from doing that was my vision.
Yeah.
Right? It was so poor that actually I was legally blind in one eye.
Wow.
Not a good way to start off an aviation career. I wanted to do that because I loved what my dad did.
Sure.
I always looked forward to dining on the ship whenever we could go down and have dinner on the ship. It seemed so futuristic and forward-thinking to me to be able to go to the ship and hang out in the wardroom and eat that, drink bug juice. You know what that is?
Yeah.
It's Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Oh.
The thing is, it became known as bug juice because the stewards, who used to be usually Filipino men, that enlisted in the U.S. Navy from the Philippines, the bugs would get in the Kool-Aid and eat it, right? And so they have to sift the Kool-Aid before they made it into, and they called it bug juice.
Some things you just don't want to know, huh, darling?
No.
Sorry, darling.
It's my pleasure to gross you out.
Sift out the bugs.
Wow.
So, I inherited my dad's dreams.
Yeah.
When he worked at Continental the first time, he bought a little airplane, the Mooney M20, and he helped my mom get her pilot's license. We flew all over the country in that thing, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. Now I want to do the same thing again. Is that my desire? Or is that my parents? Is that my dad? That's probably my dad. In 1967, when he was home from his first cruise and making transition to another air wing, he bought a 66 Porsche 911. I remember that day well. This was in Jacksonville, Florida. because I cried as we left our old car behind at the dealer. Essentially, I grew up in the back of that 911 and fell deeply in love with the Mark. It broke my heart when my dad sold that car when he left the Navy the first time and we moved from Lemoore, over there in the valley, to Woodland Park, Colorado. Is that me or is that him? Maybe it doesn't matter, but now that I'm getting to the point of following what I want to do, about making up my own mind about the fun of the rest of my life, I'm wondering about whose fun I'm having. Is it me or is it someone else's? I honestly don't believe there's anything inherently bad about Porsches and Rolexes and movies, but what is best? Got your mirror Bible?
Yeah.
Would you read 1 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17 again, please?
2 Corinthians.
Was it 2 Corinthians? Yeah. Let me change this.
Say again, 5 what?
5, 16.
It's what you read this morning.
Here we go. 5, 16, 17, out of the mirror. 2 Corinthians. This is radical and our most defining moment. No label that could possibly previously identify someone.
Which I have just described to all of you, all these labels that I thought I didn't know I wore.
Carries any further significance. Even our pet doctrines of Christ are redefined. Whatever we knew about him historically or sentimentally is challenged by this conclusion. Now, in the light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ you're a brand new person. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new.
The new. The old ways. I'm talking about the old ways, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get to the new ways. Okay? So, Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians twice about the things that are lawful for me, but are not necessarily helpful.
Right.
All things, this is, in fact, would you read it through 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12? From the mirror? I'd be interested to know what the mirror says about it.
6:12 says, I'm free to do what I want, but if what I do is not appropriate, I refrain from doing it. I'm not snared by sudden notions.
Right. The ESV says, I will not be dominated by anything. Anything out here, right? There are some things that I want to be dominated by, and they are spiritual and they are holy, right? Those are the things that I want resting on my
yeah,
mind,
right.
Right? So he says that twice. He also says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23. And then in Proverbs 11:4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Porsches, Rolexes, Moonies do not profit you in the day of wrath.
What was that, Proverbs?
Proverbs 11:4. But righteousness delivers from wrath. On that note, when I was young, I felt left out when I discovered that Israel was God's chosen nation and I wasn't a Jew.
Really? You actually had that thought?
I chewed on that for several years.
Wow.
When it settled upon me that there was no way I was going to be able to become a Jew, I thought the next best thing I could do was to become a monk. I didn't become a monk. But I thought very seriously about it.
How old were you when this was happening?
This is third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade.
Okay. I wanted to be a nun.
Yeah.
But I think it was more because I liked
it. You liked the habit?
Yeah.
Somehow I had to be able to show God I was serious. How could I do that? It was many years before I discovered there was already a better way. I didn't realize that Jesus was the answer to that desire. So what happened to showing I'm serious? Can I show I'm serious by being a playboy? By driving Porsches and flying Moonies and letting people admire my watch as I walk by? That's probably not the answer. I meant to bring it this morning and I forgot. There is a book that I have described to you called, you know what? I don't remember the name of it.
The one you gave her?
No, it was a different one by Henri Nouwen about the ascetic lifestyle, right? The fasted lifestyle. I heard about the life of the desert fathers. Have you heard about the desert fathers in Egypt, the Coptic monks? Right? That's what Henri's book is about. I have done neither the ascetic lifestyle nor the fasted life well because it flies in the face of my upbringing, which is likely a very good thing. Here I am now, longing for Porsches, Rolexes, and Moonies. So what is the fun of the rest of my life? Is it work? Is it play? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Is it ministry? What's the fun? Right? That's what has been in my head since May, right? Since we started going through all my dad's stuff. I'm wondering and I'm looking for answers. So, what it comes down to for me, this is funny. I have the watch. I found the airplane. The internet found me our little November 7182 uniform, that original airplane that we own. I actually have also found that Porsche.
Get out.
I found them. I can buy them. They're available to me. I told my brother that I found them, and guess what he said? Oh, good. Now all you need is cash and you can relive your childhood.
There you go.
Right? Am I still trapped in my traditions and my expectations that I didn't even realize I had? I seem to be laboring under a veil. You remember what I said about a veil? Right? What cleans off the lens? What is it that cleans off the lens? What is it that restores our vision from this to this? What is that? And this is what I came to last week when you spoke, Danny. And laboring under a veil, what blows it off? How do I remove it? You didn't say this, but this is what came from the Holy Spirit. I expect revelation. I expect a reboot. I expect an update. I expect Christ-likeness. I expect, I'm not Jesus, but I am Christ-like because I decided to do that, right? It's not about Eric. It's not about the Rolex. It's not about the Porsche. It's not about the Mooney. It's not about the house. It's not about the nice set of dishes and the pots and pans and the state-of-the-art kitchen, which I love those things. It's not about that stuff. It's about Christ. It's not actually about whose fun I'm having. It's not really even about fun. Any guesses what it is about? It's part of our theme.
Jesus.
Hey, you did it!
So,
say that again, please.
Sure. It's not really about fun. It's actually about joy. Let me quote one of my favorite authors. This is C.S. Lewis. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me.
Come on.
Right? That is... It's not actually, I don't think it actually comes from surprised by joy, but the idea of his work, Surprised by Joy, is the experiences that he had as a young man, a boy and a young man, finding joy. And he didn't define, C.S. Lewis didn't define this joy that he wrote about as overwhelming, severe happiness. It was a life-altering experience of something that you might call, we might call joy, but we might also call terror, right? It was, and I would call it revelation, right? So joy is a revelatory experience, and that is the thing that will is lifting the veil off of my eyes. So, what is the well of joy? Where is that place that I can go throw the bucket down the well and crank it up and say, right? Well, lately it's been the Song of Solomon. It's been about 30 years, right? And sharing it with all of you has stirred up that world. And I expect that you and I will continue to see those things stirred up and bring joy, regardless of the Porches, regardless of the Moonies, regardless... Oh, I should also say that while the Moonie is a great little airplane, I've actually found it better than...
What is,
oh.
What is that?
That's a better
plane. That is a Rutan Long Easy.
Okay. I thought you were going to say angel's wings.
Oh, I'm like that even better. That was a drone. You and I need to get to know each other. I like that idea. No, this was an airplane designed by Bert Rutan, who lived just down the road in the Hobbit.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so that probably will be the airplane that I end up with rather than I like the Moonies, but this is even better. So in spite of the airplanes and the watches and the nice cars, those aren't the things that bring joy. Right? Those aren't the things that
fulfill you.
Content me?
Yeah.
No. Are they fun? You bet they are. Sure they're fun. But I know deeper fun. I know deeper contentment.
Can you read through a list. You said, I expect, and you listed like six different things. Revelation. I expect encounter. I expect, do you remember? Or is it something written?
I don't think it was written down, but let me go back there.
I just liked how you said expect, because you look for things that you expect. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking for them.
You see them.
Yeah.
You recognize them when you see them.
Yeah. But it was all the things that you said were experience, encounter, revelation, and I find myself sometimes, a lot of times, not looking for those things.
Right. I agree. What? Is that really true? Because I know how we pray.
Right.
I know that we pray into future events.
Yeah.
Right.
I would submit that.
True.
Yes, you did expect in a prayer previously to have the revelation, to have the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Here, so one of the things that I love about the Holy Spirit is how he taught me to pray for Kelly. Because Kelly and I were, for a long time, like this. And my heart got stony as a result. And I said, God, would you just make me able to love Kelly because of the way you love her? Let your love for Kelly grow in this heart. Oh, we're not doing this anymore. Right? This has passed. And I less frequently now, but still periodically, I will go back and pray that prayer for my future heart, right? For my future relationship with my wife. So I would answer your question with that answer. God bless you. I love you guys. You draw it out of me, and I like that.
You're not going to say anymore?
That's all.
She has more paper.
There's no ink in the pen.
That was wonderful.
That was fun.
One thing I wanted to say, though, about the Porsche and the plane and the Rolex, and yes, I would feel. I didn't know that was a Rolex, those things.
I know,
that,
right? Right.
You know, so don't feel too much. But I can see, no.
No,
you're like,
no,
I don't want to touch it. What's that, diamonds? I don't
know. No, it's not diamonds.
Oh, okay.
It's just
a beautiful. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult, but I can understand how it would make you feel
nervous.
Well, not just nervous, but
self-conscious.
That. Yeah. Nice of you, but it does mean something to you. But those three things are also part of. Well, I didn't know what your childhood was like, but the love that you have, you know, there's wonderful memories in all there.
Yeah,
it is in the past, and you don't aspire for that. But I don't think there's anything wrong in that. But you're with Jesus now, and so you aspire, you expect, you look for other things. And so, because I'm going through the same thing with my dad passing.
Right.
I'm trying to sell the house and clear it out. That's why I put a text out yesterday with, anybody wants these books, please come. I mean, we didn't have that relationship with my dad, and we've all been looking at these books and saying, oh, wow, if you had just shared this stuff with us, it would have been so different.
Right.
And instead of feeling left out by him, and I don't know, poor daddy, he was just so closed. He was in that box, and he never really got out of it. Little tiny chinks, but it was like, we felt all the things we missed. This is like, okay, no. Yes, he had, I'm sure it was over 1,000 books. And I said to my siblings, I said, Dad was worried about we wouldn't have money for an inheritance because we were talking about having both of them in assisted living. Dad absolutely refused, and Mom needs it, and she's doing really well now. She's very social, and there's people around, and she's in memory care, and she says to my sister, some of them are worse than me. And Dad looked at me and he says, I guess there won't be any inheritance. And I said to him, our inheritance is that you two be happy, at least at the end of your life.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at all the books and stuff and I said, this is more inheritance, you want me to clean this up? But I understand what you're doing and I'm almost envious because you had the love connected with that. That I had all this stuff, all this richness, all this wealth of information. It was right there in the house. I said, why didn't you share this stuff with us?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we have had that kind of understanding? But yeah, he didn't. And I think he's going, oh man, why did we do that? Why didn't I do that? And what's so funny is we had to rent a dumpster. And my sister and I would come across things, and my brother too, and said, you know, what significance is this? There's nothing.
Right.
I think my father's spirit was in this woman yesterday. She got in the dumpster and pulled out a bunch of stuff that we threw out because it had significance for her. She knew where to put these things where they would make sense. We just looked at them and said, you know, Dad just was so in love with the Native Americans, and he had all these government things, but I said, I took one because it looked very interesting. What am I going to save all of those? You know, that whole, and she knew where they would fit. So I said, Daddy, 2 hours in the dumpster. Just get it. She says, I'm not going to go all the way to the bottom. I said, well, I didn't put any garbage in there. It's all what we thought was garbage. You know, that they were not really what we thought was garbage. It was like, we can't do anything. You know, I'd have to hold on to it. I never made it. It would be, the only value would be that Dad loved this stuff. But she knows where to take it. And I just felt that was my dad's spirit. If I take away anything from this, it's that. You know, because he didn't share that stuff. And we regret that he didn't, because there was so much of himself and even us in it. But that woman going through the dumpster and retrieving some of that stuff is just, that's an inheritance to me.
Come on.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
And I am so grateful to be here, because this whole week, poor Dion, she saw me, I was just like in tears. And she says, he's got you. And I said, yeah, but not really. It's my brothers and sisters, you know. But for the whole week, we've been going through all of this. And they talk, and you can't get an award in Edgewise. And I've been feeling irritated, because it's like, I really did figure out this week that they don't respect me. And not that that's what I'm looking for, but it's like my opinion doesn't count. And I've had that trouble for the 4 years I've been here, is that they were always criticizing me. They thought, if you don't want to be involved, don't criticize what I'm doing, which was a lot of work. And my sister gets a little bit of that now, but you know, she gets 24/7 care, and it's excellent care. I didn't have that. And, you know, we really prayed, because there were two other places. And when the doctor said she needed memory care, I asked him for an addendum, Darla had, because I had, more than once have consulted Darla on all of this stuff, and for me, especially. But she said, write an addendum to the doctor and to explain. And so he said, okay, Linda, bring her in. And he looked at me and says, I just can't in good conscience say that she doesn't need memory care. So we were just so disappointed. So the place she was going to be with my brother and sister-in-law and her two grandchildren, had great assisted living. But memory care, Carl showed me pictures. I said, I won't let her go there. And they, you know, they felt the same way. It looked like it was very institutionalized. It looked horrible. She would not thrive in that. But downstairs, assisted living looked really good. And the same thing. I said, okay, I will go back to High Desert Haven, which in the beginning I had no problem. And I told my siblings 4 years ago, I said, you know, I really wouldn't have any problem having Mom here, because we knew Dad wasn't going to go, and we had everything worked out. Dad could take her to appointments. Dad could pick her up on Sunday and have a date, and you could go to church, you know, but that just wasn't going to work out. And then so I went into their memory care unit, which is newer than the other one, and I walked in, and I wanted to walk out. And the staff was wonderful. The care was wonderful, but it looked so institutionalized. People were just parked in one room. It wasn't even pretty, and they were just in their wheelchairs. And just anyway, so I said, no, we're not going to do that. But, you know, I was on a fact-finding mission, so I went through. And then my sister in Arizona picked up the baton, and she found this place. And it's wonderful. She showed me pictures. It's just as pretty upstairs in memory care as it is in assisted living. Mm-hmm. They had a piano. It had been played for years, they said, and she sat down. I said, what music should we take for her? And Carl says, just take it all.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
And she did, and everybody loves it. And she's got two, but he forgot these two ones where it's sing-alongs and one for Christmas. I said, take these, because they love to sing. And they moved the piano closer to her room. Because, you know, it was a little easier for her to walk in. And she is happy. And that's important. And my sister did that, the one that gives me the most trouble. But that's also an inheritance.
Right.
That God works
for
that.
Linda, good word.
And Mama's happy.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
And so am I, because I get to come here all the time.
Yes.
And it's like this week has been so awesome. I said, but I'm just going to be here. So I said, okay, so I'm going. Anyway, that's, I don't know where I'm going with this, but those things that you had from your father and mother, those are good things. But like you say, they're not the things you want to move forward with. And I'm filled with all the regret. And so I'm somewhat envious of you. And because I just see the regret in our childhood.
So let me speak that word to you as well. I'm not moving forward with the things that my mom and dad put in me.
Not that. Well, listen. Forward with Jesus. I'm sorry.
Neither should you. Mm.
Yes.
That regret, leave it behind. There's no place for it in the
future. There isn't. It just stops me from going forward. More and more.
It doesn't, though. Remember the word? The word? Any label that can be rightly attached to you no longer applies.
Right.
Amen.
Yay, God.
Amen.
Good word.
That was wonderful.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely.